Many ages from the time when God created the heavens and the earth and then formed human beings in God's own image. Long after the great flood, when God made the rainbow shine forth as a sign of the covenant. 21 centuries from the time the promise was given to Abraham and Sarah. 13 centuries after Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt and Miriam danced in freedom. 1,100 years from the time of Ruth and Judges. 1,000 years from the anointing of David as king. In fulfillment of the times and years and months and days discerned by the prophets. In the 194th Olympiad. The 752nd year from the foundation of the city of Rome. The 42nd year of the reign of Octavian Augustus. While the whole world enjoyed a span of peace, Jesus Christ, eternal God and Son of the eternal Father, desiring to sanctify the world by his most merciful coming, being conceived by the Holy Spirit and 9 months of growth in the womb of his mother, now, in our own times, is the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, God made flesh. Please rise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who makes all things new. Rejoice, I bring good news for all people. Unto us a child is born. Alleluia. The angels sing on earth, glory to God in the highest. As we celebrate the birth of Christ our Savior, let us acknowledge our failure to receive him full into our world, trusting in the mercy of God. Almighty God, Isaiah foretold the good news that is now proclaimed to us. The Lord has comforted the people and redeemed Jerusalem. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven all your sins. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. All-powerful and unseen God, the coming of your light into our world has brightened weary hearts with peace. Call us out of darkness and empower us to proclaim the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Our first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Bring forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm is Psalm 98. You all will please read the bold print. And since we have a smaller group, you need to read loud so I can hear you. Okay. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song. With trumpets and the sound of horn, shout with joy before the King, O Lord. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with equity. Our second reading this morning is taken from Hebrews, the first chapter. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is a reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, and his servants flames of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak, you will roll them up, and like clothing, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end." This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, thou in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John's gospel really calls us to the mystery of God. And I thought of this bit I heard from comedian Pete Holmes. I didn't listen to his whole thing, but I caught this clip. And he said, in reading John 1, it kind of parallels, it connects here. He says, "My God is not an old man in a sky. It's a metaphor for the mystery that absolutely transcends all categories of human thought, including being and non-being, but that is too many words for the back of a quarter." And then he says, that's Joseph Campbell. He says, "I got all the best teachers later in life, like Barry Taylor, the road manager from AC/DC, said God is the name of the blanket we put over the mystery to give it shape." And then he says, "Shouldn't I have learned that in church? Why am I learning this from Barry Taylor, the road manager for AC/DC?" Right? We ponder this mystery, and I think at times, even as the church, we don't do a good enough job to invite people into this mystery and to allow people to just get lost in the awe of who we say God is and how the Christian message and story actually really permits ourselves. It's part of it to say we don't have a full grasp on this God, but the God that we know that has come to us in the flesh shows us on the one hand who God truly is, but at the same time keeps us humble in never fully being able to grasp it, right? Luther pondered this mystery when he preached on John 1 on Christmas Day. He said, "The Word is also eternal because it did not have an origin in the beginning, but it was already in the beginning. It did not begin, but when other things began, it was already present in existence. And its existence did not begin when all things began, but it was already present. Since there is but one God, it must be true that God himself is the Word, which was in the beginning before all creation. The Word was with God, and yet God was the Word. So also the words, 'all things were made through him.' This passage also based upon the first chapter of Genesis, where all created things are mentioned which God had made in order to show that we were all made by the Word." If you were to ask me how I would describe Lutheran spirituality, I would say that it is a spirituality of the Word. But note that this Word is more than just the Bible. It's more than just the Scriptures. It is the Word made flesh, Jesus. The Word of God that comes to us in Jesus. The Word of God that makes God tangible to us. God's Word of promise connected to water, bread, and wine. It is a spirituality of the Word that offers us some tangibility to the mystery of God, a God that is beyond our comprehension and understanding. I don't fault anyone who is outside the church and hears the Christian message to find it a bit unbelievable. Because how do we make sense of the pre-existing Word also being a flesh and blood person? Born of a particular woman in a particular location. Yet the pronouncement of this Word made flesh is a significant proclamation that Christians make. In the God that is beyond our understanding, the Christian message is that this God that is beyond our understanding has become human, and by truly becoming human, we can come to know who God truly is. Even though we can never fully understand and fathom all that God has done for us. Athanasius puts it this way: to try to number all that Christ has done for us, it's like gazing at the open sea and trying to count the waves. How can we take all that in? Athanasius goes on to say, "For the things that transcend one's thought are always more than those one thinks that one has grasped." It is this incarnate Word made flesh that does give us a true sense of who God is. Because this is the God who weeps at the tomb of a loved one. It tells us something about who God is, doesn't it? This is a God who is very open about being vulnerable. It tells us something about who our God is. This is a God who died and rose again, and they ate breakfast on the beach with his friends. That tells us something about the God that we believe in. And it's truly through the words and deeds of Jesus that we can better grasp, yet not fully grasp, who our God is. If someone says, "I understand God," I'd say, "Drop it." Right? Like, you don't, you know. You think you got God figured out, you don't. Lose it. Right? See, what Pete Holmes sadly did not encounter much is incarnational faith. Because we can't reduce this Christmas truth to dry proclamations of doctrine or messages of sappiness. The extraordinary message of Christmas is that God is in the ordinary moments of our lives. In Christ, God enters the ordinary. God enters the mundane. God enters the profane. And when we gather for worship that is the source and summit of our life together as Christians, we are filled with some tangibility of God's grace and God's presence. And then we enter the world with eyes of faith. We enter that mystery of a God who is always with us in that daily rhythm of our lives. Last night I was speaking about how God is making a home with us in Luke's Christmas story. You notice in John's Christmas story, it's just as an explicit declaration. I said this a couple Christmases ago, and we had a Bible study around this. You remember the N.T. Wright's Bible study, right? The Rankins remember this, right? And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Cheryl, you might have been part of that Bible study too, right? A better translation: the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, right? Our God became flesh and made God's home among us. God moves in with us. As we are in awe of the mystery of God that transcends our understanding and our comprehension, we also know that God is with us and Christ has moved in with us. And when it comes to incarnational faith, we're saying that we encounter Christ in the reading of the Scriptures, preaching of the Word, and that Christ meets us at the table, in the Holy Supper, and also in the mutual consolation of our sisters and brothers in Christ. We see Christ there. It is that incarnational, sacramental life that gives us eyes of faith to see the mystery of God, to give God shape. And we see it in our morning routines. We see it when we're doing our household chores, when we're out running errands, at work, and at play. The Christian life doesn't call us just to talk about God, but our lives are to bear witness to God. It's to testify to the light that shines in the darkness. Now, Pete Holmes shouldn't have just learned about the mystery of God in church. He should have learned it from the church, from the people, in that incarnational faith, in that love that is shared, supposed to be shared, by fellow Christians amongst one another and out to the world. For as the body of Christ in the world, our lives are transformed by an incarnational God that meets us in word and sacrament, and that we should share the love of God in such a way that it offers a blanket that gives God shape for people as they navigate in a dark and broken world. The word that has become flesh keeps us humble in our understanding of who God is and all that God has done. But this God is not distant from us. God lives among us. God has moved in with us. The joy of Christmas and the Christian witness is found in a relational God who knows our pain, who knows our joy, and who knows death, and then gives us life. Let us rejoice in that good news. Let us trust in the promise and not just talk about God, but allow the love of God to be tangible in our lives for the sake of others. A Lutheran spirituality of the word is a spirituality that dives into the tangibility of God, who has moved in with us and essentially promises never to move out of our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Oxen ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss, Jesus Christ was born.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father of the Almighty, Creator, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Trusting in God's good news of great joy for all people, we offer our prayers for ourselves, our neighbors, and the world God loves. Christ is born and your Spirit is poured out upon us. Renew your church through the gift of baptism. Unite your faithful people across both distance and denomination. Teach us to live by your grace. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, for all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God. You reveal your presence over the heights of the mountains, through the cloud and lightning, and beyond the trembling of the earth. Still the storms that threaten the lands and send relief to all places and peoples experiencing natural disasters, extreme temperatures, or famine. Hear us, O God. Let all the ends of the earth know the promise of your reconciliation and renewal. Make beautiful the work of peacemakers, community organizers, and advocates who work to ensure that all people flourish in safety and dignity. Hear us, O God. God, be our comfort and our redemption. Seek out all who feel forsaken or forlorn, especially those who are marginalized because of their race, sexuality, gender expression, or immigration status. Heal all who struggle in any way. Hear us, O God. Following the example of Mary and Joseph, let all our families, whatever their shape or size, reflect your holy and life-giving love. Bless adoptive families, foster families, and guardians. Hold in mercy all who are childless by choice or life circumstance. Hear us, O God. As you have guarded the lives of saints, so shield us from evil and danger. Teach us by their example to serve you with joy and honesty of heart, that we live as heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hear us, O God. Abide with us, O God of mercy, and receive our prayers according to your abundant grace. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace. Let us pray. God with us, you came as a baby to a manger. You slept on straw and greeted shepherds. you come again in bread and wine. Remind us how good you are at blessing ordinary things. And then through these gifts, help us to bless the lives of others in the strength of your holy name.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy and wondrous God, long ago you spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways, and in these last days you have spoken to us in your word made flesh, Jesus, who proclaimed your dream of peace. He gave himself for our weary world, accepting death so that we might live, and held our darkness deep within until through cross and grave and empty tomb he set us free for love. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this
for the remembrance of me."
Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so we proclaim the mystery of faith. Recalling his death and resurrection and longing for his coming in glory, we offer you these gifts of bread and wine and our lives in thanks and praise. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that we might be a people of grace and truth, bearing good news of joy in every season. And bring us at last, with Mary and Joseph and all your saints, to that vision of eternal splendor for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. By him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every heart receive your Savior. You may be seated. I'm wondering with the distribution of communion, if we could all just get in the, could we fit in the chancel? Could we all, you think we could do that? I mean, I my spatial intelligence is not great, but I think we could figure that out, right? So you're welcome. We're going to do it by method of intinction, but I just invite you to come over, come into the chancel, and we'll distribute that way. Emily, you want to receive first, and there you go. What you do? You want to dip?
No. Okay.
The body of Christ given for you. 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 The body of Christ given. You've been fed and nourished at the Lord's table. You may depart in peace. Amen. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. Let us pray. On this day, O God, you gave us Christ the Son to save us. As you sent the one foretold, send us now with good news for all people. Let the gladness of this feast have no end as we share with others the joy that fills us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. May Christ, who by his incarnation has filled us with grace and truth, give you peace this Christmas and always. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. To God in the highest, peace to God's people on earth. Go in peace, share the gift of Jesus.